Coming. It's nice to be here. So I'm a behavioral biologist. I'm based in the biology department. I've been here about a year and a half. And I work on social cognition. But the guiding principle behind my work is I'm interested in how animals cope with a changing world. So a lot of animals, including ourselves, the world changes. It changes over space and it changes over time. And we have to deal with those changes. And the mechanism I'm particularly interested in is... Oh, it's actually missing from the... I can see it's on the computer, but not here. Okay, so I think it's a Mac PC thing. So, but the mechanism I'm interested in is social learning. So social learning is when animals learn from each other. And we've been studying this in my laboratory for a little while now, so I thought I'd give you a few examples of social learning just to illustrate the kinds of things that animals can learn from each other. So first we've got zebrafish. So zebrafish will learn by following each other how to escape from a predator. So they'll learn one route over another route by following individuals that know how to escape, and they'll go through that particular route. Birds will learn foraging problems from each other. So you can train birds in one foraging problem, release them out into the wild, and they will copy each other and learn that. In rats, what we find is that they will actually learn food preferences from each other. So you train a rat to eat a cocoa diet or a cinnamon diet. You put it together, they smell the breath of each other, and then afterwards they'll remember that and they'll have a preference for the same diet that the other one ate. And that will actually protect them against eating poisonous food. In humans, we've been looking at how people navigate through the world, both through the real world and virtual worlds. And again, they can learn that from each other, something probably a lot of you have done yourselves. And finally, in guppies, this is the species I work with most at the moment, we've been looking a lot at how they find food, so what kinds of food they eat and where food is. So what we do is we play tricks on them, we hide food in particular locations, we teach fish where that food is, and then other fish will learn where that food is by observation. So these are all examples of social learning. And then the questions that we're interested in are, when do animals socially learn? They don't always do this, so when do they do it? How do they do it? And what are the consequences of that? So to briefly talk about when animals socially learn, what we've been looking at in the laboratory is how their experience shapes that and how their evolution shapes that. So how their experience over the last couple of weeks influences whether they learn from others or not. How their experience, their developmental experience, so that's when they're really young, does that affect whether they learn from others? And also, are there differences between species and populations that have evolved in whether they rely on copying what others do versus figuring things out for themselves? And we do a little bit of this work, particularly on the evolved differences, by looking at primates, but most of our work focuses on fish, this little guppy, because the nice thing with fish is that we can actually control their experiences. We can keep them in the laboratory, and we can study them for this period, and we know exactly what kinds of experiences they have had. So 30 seconds. And then this how question, what we're doing there is we're using the techniques of behavioral neuroscience to understand the mechanisms of social learning. And we're focusing on the substrates that underlie this, and particularly what are called nonapeptides. So these are, in fish, isotocin and vasopressin. So these are the fish equivalents of oxytocin and vasopressin. Probably quite a lot of you have heard about oxytocin. Fish have a very similar system, and we know that's involved in social behavior, so we're interested in whether this underlies social learning. Then finally, looking at the consequences, we're interested in the consequences for evolution and for ecology. So we're taking this behavior back to the field. We're looking at what the consequences of that are for the spread of information through groups of animals in the wild. So we're doing that with field studies, we're also doing mathematical models, and we're also just beginning experiments where we're looking at evolution in the laboratory with experimental evolution. Okay, so that's it, and thank you very much.